Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford Kia Hyundai, best in new inventory. Great pre-owned inventory with Sunbury Motors Guarantee. And a service department, whether it's inspections, routine, diagnostics, they handle it all. Body work, everything. At Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Great news. It sounds like Drew Locke is, I think, Seattle's now in the cusp of a Super Bowl. They've got Drew Locke now. And your guy Carson Wentz just left Indianapolis today. He went to the Washington Commanders.
I love it.
He's back in the division.
That's fine.
So, look, everybody is trying to find something. Now, what that something is, Seattle. Now Seattle did a salary dump. By moving Wilson and then releasing Bobby Wagner, they dramatically changed their salary. But now they've got draft choices left and right. The question will be the process of rebuilding. They've got a fan base that will stick with them. So there's no question about that. The fan base will stick with them. But you just can't do it for a long period of time. Because it wears on a fan base, and it wears on an organization. So let's see how quickly they're able to do this. They spent a lot of money in Jamal Adams. That's not working. They're releasing Wagner, who had a lot of money coming in. Wagner's a really good player, obviously. He'll be picked up by somebody, and he will be obviously productive for them. Now, as for Wentz, he goes 1 year here, got off to a decent start, fell off, and then had a really bad last game against Jacksonville. They decided it wasn't worth the money. The question is here in this city, it's not about Washington. Washington at least gets a veteran who's been around the block and understands game speed and is probably at least a step up for them in the starting quarterback spot. But you feel like they've essentially dealt Kirk Cousins for Carson Wentz. You just kind of feel like that is what they've done. It's Kirk Cousins, you know, who goes to Minnesota for Carson Wentz. It's about what you feel like they've done with Washington. Question is going to be, how long do you want to go through a rebuild? And who's available to do this? And I think you're seeing some movement in this right now for the simple reason. Were there good quarterbacks here last week? Yes. Were there great impact quarterbacks here last week? No. And I think that's what it comes down to. I mean, the Eagles have a good quarterback that makes an impact on what they want to do, but he's not a great quarterback by any stretch of the imagination. He's a good quarterback who has some really good moments. And his legs make a big difference. But is he a great quarterback? No. If you are in the AFC, is he better than Russell Wilson? No. Is he better than Derek Carr? No. Is he better than Justin Herbert? No. Is he better than Russell Wilson? No. He wouldn't be the best quarterback in that division. And is he better than Joe Burrow? No. Is he better than Lamar Jackson? No. I mean, Jackson's the best version of Jackson. And you start going through one by one with, is he better than Trevor Lawrence? I don't think he is. But he's the best option Philadelphia has. Philadelphia can now at least go through with other positions because he is good enough to do what they want to do. and they could play a style in some way similar to what Baltimore does because of the skill set he brings to the table. Is he better than Dak Prescott? No. Is he better than Wentz? Yes. Is he better than Daniel Jones? Yes. What gets me is how desperate are teams for quarterbacks is that you're hearing so much buzz right now about Mitchell Trubisky. Really? Really? Mitchell Trubisky? I mean, my goodness. And that's where we are right now. We'll talk more about this with Peter King, by the way, at 3:35 today, who joins us. I know you wanted to jump in and complain.
No, I was just going to add that your New York Football Giants are now in the mix for one Mitchell Trubisky.
Maybe. I mean,
and again, I just laugh.
But I think that's a maybe. It's only, remember, this is also a team that has two Bills-based individuals as the GM and the head coach.
Right. So it makes sense.
They just had him, so they have some level of familiarity with him. That's really the only thing right now that allows you to try to connect the dots with the Giants. It doesn't matter. It's just Trubisky is a great case. And remember, Jack and I talked about this a lot. Yeah, most of this time was off the air, obviously, about Tommy Stevens. Would Tommy Stevens stay at Penn State and try and get himself in a position where for 1 year he could be the starting quarterback and pull a Mitchell Trubisky? Well, it turned out he ended up transferring to Mississippi State, tried to do that, and it didn't pan out for him. Okay. All right. But that's what some people are doing. What's really interesting to me, Matt, is there are a lot of people out there that want to limit their college tape. They want to put some college tape out there, but they don't want to put a ton out there. All right? You know, there's a lot of people who feel like they are benefiting from doing well, but they also don't want to put out so much that people either catch on to their game or you see, obviously, the bad parts of it. And that's a big part of this. And that is a big part of this that I think there are a lot of people out there. Like, Trubisky's a great example. He had 1 year. And I remember thinking, boy, you're going to catch on to this in 1 year? Because I watched this bowl game, and I was like, okay, I don't get it. I mean, I watched this bowl game, and I was like, okay, well, all right, but I don't get it. And I think that, you know, it's almost like Dwayne Haskins is a perfect example. He had one season of tape. That's all he had. Right? And boy, he ends up being a first-round pick and the whole deal. And you know I wasn't crazy about him. I said, because, you know, he played against Penn State, and it was like one completion after another behind the line of scrimmage. That doesn't exactly wow you watching it. Like, okay. When he threw the ball downfield, he didn't throw it down the field effectively.
And this all leads to this point, Steve, because you're absolutely right. NFL defensive coordinators are not stupid. And that's why you have all this mediocrity at the quarterback position in 3/4 of the league right now. It's because you have teams desperate, like Washington, like the Giants, like Denver, that are trying to, like the Steelers to some degree, until you know the whole Aaron Rodgers thing ended out, that are going to do anything because they're impatient and they realize that this year's quarterback class isn't great. But then when you go to a actual college quarterback, unless you're a top five pick, you're better off just staying in college till at least your junior year. Because you might as well, if you're so afraid about putting out a lot more tape because you think people are going to catch on, doesn't matter. NFL defensive coordinators will figure you out no matter what. Because either way, there's going to be tape out there. They'll catch on to you to try to make you feel uncomfortable, so you might as well stay in college to get seasoned a little bit more so then you don't have to have those worries and maybe you'll be a better quarterback and better product.
You hope. I mean, again, it's you feel like for some people it's like, okay, he only put out a year. Haskins put out a year. He was a first-round pick, which means he got first-round money. All right? Trubisky, first-round pick, second overall. He got first-round money. People are looking at the money. They're not, you know, that's what gets me about this. There's more of a viewpoint of the money and not how good you can be. Because the key is to getting to the second contract. That's where you really make the money. And I think that the idea is this. I come in as an 18-year-old. After 3 years, I go as a 21-year-old. And that means at 25, I hit my fourth year. And now I'm aiming for a second contract as long as I don't get franchised. And I believe what Chris Godwin got franchised for a second time yesterday. And by the way, you know what the rule is on that, right? Godwin is going to make on the franchise tag. He's going to get $19 million. The
Correct.
Reason
yep.
is when you are franchised a second time, it is mandatory you get 120% of your previous contract. So that's what being franchised for the second time means. You actually get 120% of your previous contract. That's why he got bumped up to $19 million a year. Same thing with, you know, Devontae Adams got franchised as well. Allen Robinson is a free agent. Mike Gesicki got franchised. And that's a tool that teams use. But now back to the quarterbacks. You feel like Haskins put out limited tape, and then when he gets to the NFL, it paid off in being drafted in the first round, but it didn't pay off in his savvy of the game. Trubisky played 1 year as the starter at North Carolina. It didn't pay off in his savvy. He got second overall pick and got the money, but didn't pay off in the savvy of the game. And the NFL is not learn on the job. You either can or they move on. Haskins is no longer in Washington. Trubisky's no longer in Chicago. You can't cut it, they go someplace else. And, you know. Now, your personal delight in Carson Wentz being moved around is, you know, is this what, I need a little Mark is 9 months old today. This is what you're teaching him?
All I'm saying is that I don't think it was really that worth it for Washington. That was a true case of desperation, because I'm sure they were in the conversation to get Russell Wilson, and either Russell Wilson didn't want to go to Washington, Seattle didn't want to train him in the conference, whatever the case may be. Washington's trying to make a splash, and they end up bringing in Carson Wentz.
Well, to be honest with you, Seattle got a better package from Denver. I mean, that's kind of hard to imagine in terms of the package of picks they got.
Totally.
All right, the package of picks they got from Denver was pretty impressive.
And which makes me happy the Eagles didn't make a choice like that.
All right. But Russell Wilson's not going to Philadelphia. And why didn't I talk about Aaron Rodgers? Why didn't I take the low-hanging fruit talk show Aaron Rodgers talk for months? Why didn't I do that?
Well,
it's stupid to talk about stuff that you have no idea what's going on.
Exactly.
I thought the entire time he was going to, at worst stay with Green Bay.
Same here.
Right? Turned out his number two option was retiring. Right? It wasn't going to Pittsburgh. It wasn't going to Denver. Every day is a new story. He's going to go here, go there. I mean, he was going everywhere except to Sealands Grove. I mean, come on. I don't go along with that kind of talk. That's not the kind of show I want to do, where you sit there, I think he might go to Pittsburgh. What kind of fit is he in Pittsburgh? He's no fit in Pittsburgh. He's not going there. I always refer to it as the low-hanging fruit stuff. All right. Not big on low-hanging fruit. Peter King, next half hour. We'll talk with him. Coming up, today's show is sponsored by our good friends at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at our good friends at sunburymotors.com here on ESPN Radio.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
Certainly some of them are trying to get there. And again, there were a couple of busloads of Wagner fans that I think that was where they were sitting. I don't see any of the players up there. Hopefully not.
Well, the players were trying to get up there, that's for sure. But give the Wagner staff and the security people here in the building, but mostly the Wagner staff, did a very good job of containing their players before this got really ugly.
And it's not over yet.
Obviously, we have no clue how this happened or what's happening. Well, the concern, and Will Martinez certainly has to be calmed down, did not go up into the stands. But, you know, these players, their families are up there as well. Their parents, their brothers, their sisters, their relatives. And we don't know exactly what's being said up there, but you've got people throwing drinks on each other, throwing Gatorade bottles at each other, and punches being thrown. You've got female students, and then one thing leads to another, and it's just mayhem.
Big Ten tournament tonight here in Indianapolis, Gainbridge Fieldhouse at 8 o'clock tonight. 8:30 will be the tip this evening, probably about 8:25. It was interesting being back in there today because I had not been back in the fieldhouse. Because last year's tournament was at Lucas Oil Stadium. I had not been back in the fieldhouse here in 2 years since that morning, a shoot-around, where we knew it was not, I mean, you're looking around thinking, are they going to play? Are they going to play? I was on a Sirius XM that morning, and they said, what's the key to playing? I said, Rutgers and Michigan, which was the opening game of the day, had to not only start the game, but had to finish the game. I said, that was the key. If they don't, I said, then the tournament's over. And Dick Girardi and I were sitting down the street at P.F. Chang's, and Dana O'Neill, Penn State grad, the athletic, was in touch with us. She said, it's so eerie in here right now. We are looking around, and it's like there's nobody in the stands. Two teams are warming up. It's just so eerie in here. And then all of a sudden, I got a text saying the tournament was over for the Big Ten. And I said, Dick, it's over. And all of a sudden, Dana says, Dick, you won't believe it. They're clearing the teams off the floor. And it ended it. It was interesting going back in here today, remembering that, but also knowing that fans are here tonight. And even though it's normal with a small N, normal with a small N is way better than 2 years ago. Peter King, next half hour. Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15. Hummel's Wharf online at sunburymotors.com. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, best in new inventory. Great selection of pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors guarantee. In a service department, whether it's inspections, routine, or diagnostics, they handle it all. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. In Indianapolis, where the Nittany Lion basketball team plays in the opening round of the Big Ten tournament tonight, 8:30 the tip, 8 o'clock the airtime. So switching places here in Indianapolis with the guy who was in Indy last week, and that is Peter King, NBC Sports Football Morning in America. Peter, welcome back. It's so great to hear you.
Hey, thanks, Steve. Good to be with you. Where are you now? Are you at the arena, or are you back in your hotel?
I'm at the Omni. So.
Oh, you're at the the Omni Severin, right?
Yep.
Where there's a lot of stuff that happens there at the combine. A lot of a lot of the agents set up shop over there because they have really good meeting rooms, ballrooms, and stuff that they can do. They can bring all their players into. So. Anyway, the whole city's convenient. It's a great place.
I thought that was a great point you made in the article because, I mean, obviously between football and basketball, I've done a lot here, just like you've done a lot here along the way. You made a great point that I don't understand why more places don't design their center city like this.
Yeah, yeah. That's the point that I wrote that, I will predict that if I think the combine will be back in Indianapolis next year for one more year, and then I think that the NFL is going to start moving it around or just move it like to Dallas or LA for a lot of money. But I think what's going to happen is that if that happens, there will be a bunch of coaches who won't go. Because as it is right now, I kind of use this as an example. I had lunch on Friday last week with Mickey Loomis, the GM of the Saints, and we were going to meet at 12:15 at the Conrad Hotel. There's a little restaurant, the Cap Grill, and just off the lobby. So we're going to meet at 12:15, and he writes to me and he says, "Hey, running a little bit late. Be there as soon as I can." And he comes in. He's kind of like 12:22, he's almost a little bit out of breath. He really hustled. So he was over at the in some of the rooms watching in the convention center, watching guys lift weights. And you know, he just wanted to wait to see the last couple of guys, and so he hustled over there. And just think, that's like probably a 10-minute walk max.
Right.
From where they were having the bench presses to the hotel that is kind of furthest away there at the Conrad. And it's just people don't realize how important the proximity is there. And so, but I really do think that a bunch of coaches won't show if it ends up being a commuter combine.
Right. Because I think what you stay at the J-Dub, right? That's where you stay, the Marriott. Yeah,
it's a good spot.
Yeah, it is a good spot. I've stayed there for football before. I want to ask you: did a large section on Aiden Hutchinson, and obviously, in 19 he played against Penn State. In 20, though, out there he did not, and I thought it made a difference in the game, and that Penn State won out in Ann Arbor. This year he played at Beaver Stadium, and it was a huge difference. He made one play after another. What is it about him that others are telling you that makes him a potential difference maker at the next level?
That, I saw a play that Aaron Donald made in the Super Bowl where he pushed the Bengals right guard back 7 yards, and Aaron Donald and the right guard sacked Joe Burrow. And I'm serious. If you watch the replay of the play, it was 3rd and 8 from the 11, I think, in the third quarter, and it is just totally embarrassing for the Bengals.
Yeah.
I think I saw Aiden Hutchinson make almost the exact same play against the Ohio State left tackle in their game where he just pushed him back into the quarterback and sacked him. And but I think he has, look, I am no fan of all the, he ran a 6.763 cone or whatever it is. But, he was only bested of all the people who did that three-cone drill, which honestly measures quickness and change of direction. Only four people in the entire combine beat him in that. And so, I mean, there's a lot of corners. There's a lot of wide receivers. There's a lot, you know, and here he is, this big kind of buff, you know, put together edge player. And so the point, my point is, I think most people in the NFL think he's a good combo platter of a guy who can rush with power and who also can make people miss when he runs outside, or even you know, moves inside and tries to just split that gap between the tackle and the guard. So I think most people think he's versatile. Now, look, we'll see. 30.5 tackles behind the line of scrimmage in the Big Ten is great. What does that mean in the NFL? We'll see.
Yeah, we'll find out. I mean, that's exactly right, because I remember a while ago when Bill O'Brien was the coach here at Penn State, and I was talking to him about the jump. And he said, Steve, he says, from high school to college is a really big jump. He said, this was his opinion, his words. He said, from college to the pros is a chasm.
Yeah, then, that's really interesting. Right. So I think, I think that there are some guys, I think there are some people like this corner from Cincinnati, Sauce Gardner, who did not allow a touchdown in 1,100 snaps playing at the University of Cincinnati. That's a really, really impressive thing. However, you know, the University of Cincinnati is not playing an SEC schedule, and I'm not dogging the guy at all. I think he's a fascinating prospect, you know, especially because he's, whatever he is, 6'2". But, you know, look, I said this to Joe Burrow's father the week before, almost 2 weeks before the Super Bowl. I made this point to him, like, you know, in some ways, you know, I think your son was fortunate that Ohio State sent him packing, because he got to play against better secondaries, I think significantly better secondaries in the ACC, especially, you know, a place like Alabama. You know, he got to play against really great fronts like in Alabama and Georgia. And you know, plus he got to play with Justin Jefferson, Ja'Marr Chase. You know, he was basically, that last year, 2019, he was in the NFL. You know,
yeah.
And
right, exactly.
In some ways, I think a guy like Burrow was fortunate and entered the NFL a little bit readier than if he had been the quarterback at Ohio State.
So, oh, I totally agree with that. And the other element, too, is that Urban was not going to pass Joe Burrow over JT Barrett, who was a fine college quarterback.
Right.
But played the way Urban wanted to play.
And also, right? Steve, remember, in that last year, he was, you know, Dwayne Haskins won the job over him.
Exactly.
And what makes this ironic, and look, Jimmy Burrow is a college football coach. You know, his last decade before he retired 2 years ago, he was the defensive coordinator at Ohio University under Frank Solich. And so he knows coaching, and he understands that hard decisions can be made. And I think he obviously feels like his son should have beaten out Haskins and all that, but but he's not one of those guys that said, boy, Urban Meyer, what a jerk, because he understands the business, you know. But I do think that the Jimmy Burrow, even though it was kind of a heartbreak for the family, they lived in Ohio for a long time, went to school in Athens, a smaller high school, and was Mr. Football in Ohio, and the pinnacle would have been for him to play at Ohio State, and it just didn't work out. And I have since come to find, by the way, that Urban Meyer had to be almost overly convinced to take Joe Burrow and give him a full ride, you know, when he went there, that he really didn't have any interest. He thought the level of competition was just too significant.
Right.
You know, the difference in the level of competition. But, hey, you know, what's interesting is that everything looks great in hindsight. And I think it's hard to think you're always going to be right when you're making judgments on 18- and 19-year-old kids.
And by the way, Urban Meyer did not go 0-12 with his decisions either. Let's remember. So they weren't that bad of decisions. But
right,
Joe Burrow did put down 2 years of a very good junior year. Not great, but very good. And then his last year, obviously, off the charts. So he had 2 years of tape he put down.
Yeah.
Dwayne Haskins only put down one, and Mitchell Trubisky only put down one. What kind of factor do you think in moving forward about limited tape versus extensive tape on decision making?
Well, I know that last year there were a lot of people wondering. You know, now when you look at any quarterback in the draft, you want, as Parcells used to call it, pelts on the wall. You want a bunch of starts. You want a lot of experience. And I think I'm correct in saying Aiden Hutchinson started 38 games at Michigan. Or 39 games, excuse me, at Michigan.
Yes.
Like, that is significant. You know, and I forget. I'm trying to remember now. The Ravens, when they were drafting a couple of years ago, they drafted an offensive lineman in the middle rounds who had started 52 games in college. And I remember Eric DaCosta, the GM, basically saying, hey, listen, you start 52 games, it means a lot of things. It means, especially at a high, you know, in a high-level conference, said it means that you showed up right away and you started playing mostly, and also that you don't get hurt very much. And so I think more and more people who scout, especially that quarterback position, they want to see more games than just one season.
Exactly. I haven't gotten to the Russell Wilson part yet or Carson Wentz, just your thoughts on Denver, Seattle, which also released Bobby Wagner, and then what Washington and Indianapolis you think are both trying to do here?
Well, this is interesting. Last year, remember that basically the Rams made that ridiculous blockbuster trade involving Stafford and Goff on January 29th. And so everybody kind of got spoiled. Well, when's the action really going to start happening? And the fact that basically it didn't happen until two of them happened March 8th and one of them happened March 9th, three moves, Rodgers staying, and then obviously the Russell Wilson trade and today the Carson Wentz trade. And I really think what happened is that, especially with Russell Wilson, that was not going to last. It just wasn't. The Seahawks were never going to sign him to a new contract that was going to hopscotch and jump over Patrick Mahomes. They weren't paying him $48-50 million. They just weren't ever going to do it. And honestly, for the last 13 months, either him or his agent has been making noise about wanting to go. And so finally, I think they just said, okay, enough. We know for some reason you're probably not happy here. We're not happy that you're not happy, and we don't want our franchise player rolling his eyes and thinking, well, okay, if I have to stay, I will. We want somebody who wants to lead this team into the next decade. And so it's a ridiculous coincidence that he and Bobby Wagner both go basically on the same day, but that's what happened. You know, arguably, other than Steve Largent, okay, arguably, and maybe Cortez Kennedy, but who knows? But maybe the two of the three or four best players in franchise history, you know, leave the franchise in the same day. And that was a big deal. But as far as, and they just want to start over. They want to start over. Now, they may start over with Deshaun Watson. I don't know. Nobody knows, because nobody knows what his legal situation is going to be. And we're going to start knowing that when the grand jury interviews some of the complainants in the Deshaun Watson case starting on Friday in Houston. But anyway, that's an X factor with Seattle that we just don't know what's going to happen. But at least Seattle now has the ammo to trade for Deshaun Watson if they want to. As far as Denver goes, it was six consecutive post-Peyton Manning years that the quarterbacking stunk. 10 different starting quarterbacks, more than any team in the league, and there wasn't one of them that anybody ever felt, including Drew Lock, that anybody ever felt, well, this is going to be our guy. You know, it was always hoping and a wing and a prayer, and let's throw Trevor Siemian out there, and let's see if Joe Flacco's got a tiny bit of production left in his arm. And, you know, it just was never right. And it's surprising, Steve, because John Elway made a lot of those decisions. And right. Shouldn't he know what a quarterback is? But
yes.
But be all that as it may, Denver, I don't care if they trade five ones. You cannot win in the NFL without a quarterback. They saw that for six consecutive years, and it wouldn't matter how much they paid for Russell Wilson. They had to have a quarterback.
Agree with that. Any thoughts on Wentz going to Washington? Because, I mean, that also means that Indianapolis has to make a decision.
Well, you know, I hate to spread ill off-the-record stuff from coaches and people in the league about a player.
Right,
but,
fair.
Man, I heard a lot of it last week about Carson Wentz. A lot. From people who had worked with him and been around him. And I think, you know what I think one of his biggest issues is, honestly, you know, and everybody said, well, you know, he didn't get the COVID shot. And, you know, he missed a game and all that, and that's bad. And of course it's bad. You can overcome that. You just can. You know, he easily could have overcome it if in the last two games of this season, against the Raiders at home or at woeful Jacksonville, he had played a big-time game, and he didn't in either game. He was especially bad at Jacksonville with everything on the line. And I think a lot of people who have worked with him believe that he is going to do what he wants to when he snaps the ball. He's not necessarily going to look at his second, third, and fourth option. He's going to lock on guys, throw it, even when they're not altogether open. And I think that began to tick off people. I know it began to tick off people in Philadelphia. He got benched there. Steve, what's absolutely amazing is, I think I'm right in saying this, but at the end of this year, Carson Wentz will have earned something like $106 million in the NFL. And at the end of this year, he might not have a home again, and he might end up being just a career backup. He might end up being Colt McCoy. I mean, it's just really sad what has happened to this guy. And the other thing is, this is the other part of his story. I will always think, when you walk outside of Lincoln Financial Field and you see the statue of Nick Foles and Philly Special, okay? Mm-hmm. I just will always believe that Carson Wentz thinks that should be my statue. There should be a statue of me. That should have been my Super Bowl. And I think it was hard for him to accept that he got hurt on his way to an MVP season, and I don't think he ever let it go.
I can understand you saying that. I know you put in a ton of hours here last week, and so I'm going to give you – and you gave us a lot of time today. Peter, thanks so much for the time. Get a little bit of rest because it's obviously another busy time of the year.
Hey, thanks a million, Steve. Hey, good luck to the Lions tonight.
I appreciate that, Peter. Thank you.
All right, take care. Bye.
Peter King, Football Morning in America, and NBC Sports. Great to have him on the show today in what was, as usual, an in-depth breakdown of everything. He is, without question, one of the best, if not arguably the best, in the business at covering that. We will come back with more in a moment. We're here in Indy as we continue on News Radio 1070 WK.